You've got to keep the fiber and the principles consistent. That's why that aspect of it will never change. What's changed is I've seen the light in relation to how amazing building a great business can be. And I've always had my own little team within another business, but we know I pay attention to patterns, particularly when the outcome is positive. And the pattern I've seen evolved from owning my own business has been something that I'm super interested in.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Today, my guest really needs no introduction at all. It's his second time in the podcast studio. Welcome back, Gavin Rubenstein.
Thank you very much. Elite Agent feels like home. It's the second time back on the podcast, but I've been here many times.
It is. We've still got your first cover up in our reception area. It's still one of my favourites.
Thank you. I it was actually my favourite, not one of my favourites, so thank you.
Yeah, no, brilliant. These here are crazy times that we're in, and I think you were here about a year ago.
Yeah, be close to that. It would have been August 2019, yeah.
Yeah, when you went out on your own, You were just about to move into the office in Woollahra. Who could have predicted the last 12 months?
Jeez. It's almost like I was on a little rocket ship called TRG. I had exited Earth's atmosphere. I was heading for Mars and someone called me, you know, to come down for an emergency landing, you know, that being COVID-19. But, you know, positive always can be drawn from the negative, and we've pivoted and had success in that. So perspective is important, that we got to focus on being positive.
Yeah, absolutely. You've just taken the leap into your own office. How did that feel like for you at the beginning? Like, what were you actually thinking when you were thinking, oh gosh, we can't go into the office for a while?
I went into the office every day.
I still did too.
Yeah.
It was just me and Mark.
Yeah,
so it was okay.
It was different because obviously we couldn't have all the staff in there. So we rotated them 50 on, 50 off, week on, week off.
Yeah.
I took the view of like, if the captain is not at the steering wheel of the ship, then you can lose direction. So it was important that both myself and my brother were there daily, which we were. But it was, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to deal with it, right? It wasn't ideal for anyone. There were people even in much worse positions. We saw the positive in the negative, just adapted, pivoted, and moved forward. Like, the energy in there went from a 150 to a 50, maybe even a bit lower. But just understanding that, you know, in time it would be over and that everyone was going through the same thing gave us ease a little bit.
In the eastern suburbs, I mean, you've got a very picky type of clientele.
Yeah.
On any day of the week, COVID or not. What was their reaction to finding out that there was a pandemic? Because I'm guessing you still had a pretty good month in April.
Yes.
How did your market react to it?
They freaked out. Like everybody, they freaked out. And I took it upon myself to be somewhat the anchor, if you like, for these people, to give them confidence. And internally, I just had to identify what I needed to do in order to provide that comfort for them. And so I kind of thought about GFC times because I've never experienced a pandemic. Not many people have, if anyone at this level, but we've experienced changing markets. And, you know, that's what was happening. The market was changing. And so I transported myself back to what I did back then, which was Groundhog Day,
yeah.
Which was pivoting, not so much focused on the seller, of course, focused on their interests, but also working with a lot of qualified buyers and trying to find ways to keep numbers at the same level and or higher. You know what I'm like? I just don't like going backwards. So off-market transactions, we put more emphasis on, and that's tied to working with buyers. And so just did what I could to ease the pain, if you like. And, you know, we managed to do that, which was good.
Yeah, actually, it's funny that you should say that because a lot of people I talked to over that period just said, well, we're back to day one.
Yeah.
We actually have to go back old school and really talk to people and stuff like that. Did you find that as well?
Hugely. You know, I work really closely with Mark McLeod.
Yep.
He's like my, you know, one of my rocks who I will always go to get advice from when I'm in somewhat of a down period. And look, without question, there was a 3-week, maybe 4-week period there that was super, super challenging for me internally. And he said to me, just don't forget why people buy Gavin. And when he talks about people, he's talking about vendors. You know, don't forget the three principles as to why people trust you to sell their asset. And he also said, never forget people buy into Gavin as well because they want to see you scrap. They want to see you fight. They know you've got that dog in you. And if you don't display that, whether the market's up or whether it's down, you're not going to have as much success as you usually do. And he's got this amazing ability to say like one or two sentences and change the whole game for me.
Mm.
And that from that point on is exactly what happened. And it's exactly like you say, it's back to day one. It's borderline stalking people in a nice way without being a stalker and showing people that you're hungry and you're willing to do what it takes for them, adding the value. And it's been working well.
Yeah. A lot of people have said to me too, and I found this as well, that picking up the phone has been a bit of a novelty.
Huge.
Because people are at home and they're actually keen for a bit of human interaction, a bit of human conversation. Did you find that as well?
For sure. They want to talk. I mean, luckily, I'm not a waffle on type of guy, so I don't usually find, even though I am a real estate agent, a lot of people would want to avoid me. It's going to happen, but not a lot of the time. So, you know, you've got to pick the clients you can really continue to chase because some of them like to be chased, and you've got to pick the clients who don't want to be chased as hard, and then you need to approach in that way based on what suits them. And I found that worked really well.
And what about the team? Because the thing is, some of the members of your team have been with you for quite some time.
Yep.
And then others are new, like you brought your brother into the business.
Yep.
And
Patrick Cosgrove and his team have just joined.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's a team of three phenomenal guys. It's extra added responsibility for me to motivate and inspire these guys to continue to push. What's crazy is as much as I've been motivating them, they've been motivating me because they've all stepped up and attack the challenge head on. And I think that's what makes, you know, my little outfit so great is everyone is like-minded. Everyone is focused on not taking no for an answer. Everyone is focused on winning.
Yeah.
And so it's a high-performance culture, and seeing them get results and seeing their attitude and how they approach each day puts a log on my fire and helps me burn, if you like. So I've stepped up the training with everyone, the meetings, the communication. Like I talk to my guys hundreds of times throughout the day. KPIs are something that I've brought up and I've always focused on them, but I'm really highlighting them in front of the whole team. So everyone knows everyone's KPIs in terms of what listings we want, where they're going to get to, GCI earnings, and you know what, just all holding each other accountable.
You guys are so used to being together and bouncing off each other and,
yeah.
And you know, there's that beautiful energy in your group. That must have been a challenge to keep up when social distancing came in. So
very tough.
Have you got any tips for the gang out there who might be struggling to motivate their troops?
I think goal setting is key. And I think finding a way that will get you to where you want to go is paramount. So what I mean by that is the usual road we're used to traveling to get to our destination is not the road we can travel today because of circumstances. So what we need to do is find another road. There's always going to be a path to get to where you're going. And so I would step one, identify or try and find what that path is. And when you have that set of goals, set a target and make that target and hitting that target your universe, make that your absolute world and do whatever it takes in order to achieve it. You know, I set passwords on my computer because I log in and out with targets I'm trying to hit. So I'm totally immersing myself day in, day out from morning to night, what I want to achieve. And I always encourage the guys to set goals that are realistic. Don't set delusional goals, because what's going to happen is if you set a delusional goal and you don't achieve it, that's going to kill your confidence, that's going to kill your momentum, and you're not going to be able to move forward and progress. As opposed to the other side of that coin, which is if you set a realistic goal, you achieve it, that's going to build confidence, that's going to give you momentum, and that's going to allow you to progress further. I always bring up similarities between NBA basketball and real estate sales, because they're both competitive team sports. And you can see some of the best players in the world, like, will have a night where they are putting the ball up and they just are missing, are missing, are missing. They just cannot get a ball in to save their life. It's a momentum game, similar to sales. It's a momentum game. And then you see the other nights when they're just hitting and hitting and they can't miss. And they build off that momentum. It takes them into the next game and they do the same thing. So momentum in real estate is just as important. You want to set goals you're confident of achieving so that can lead you to the next goal and you can continue to progress. One sale will become another sale, and if you harness it correctly, will continue to create positive aspects in your real estate business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your basketball analogy too, because even if you do sort of shoot and miss a couple of times, you can't stop shooting.
Look, Kobe Bryant, unfortunately,
it's just been a shit of a year.
Oh,
hasn't
my
it?
God. That's just tragic news. But the great thing about him was he just would put up shots and have nights where he would miss and miss. But what everyone knew about Kobe was like, it didn't matter. He didn't care. He would miss, but he would keep going and going and going. And I think, you know, one of the biggest aspects of your game as a real estate agent that needs work or that you need to be able to do is understand and acknowledge you're going to be wrong and there's going to be listings that you miss and there's going to be deals that you miss. But it's how you respond to that to keep moving forward with the same vigor, with the same energy, with the same positivity as before you missed, to break the seal. And that's what will allow you to create consistency. And too many people get like shelled up or shell shock or too down from missing, and that won't allow them to progress and move forward. You know, I say it all the time. I miss so much on a daily basis. It's insane. There's crazy levels of pressure, particularly at the moment, from buyers, from sellers, from everywhere, from every angle. It almost feels like there's something in the water that is just making everything more challenging at the moment. Mm. But it's ensuring that you can go through that process and remain center to deal with what is next that is going to determine the best from everybody else right now, I believe.
I agree with you. The thing about the pandemic, it's so personal. Like, you know, and I think for a real estate agent, this is where it gets tricky, right? And I think you just touched on it, is that some people are keen and chomping at the bit to get out for dinner and get amongst people again, and some people just aren't.
Yep.
And so I think that comes into play in a real estate transaction. Huge. Because you're dealing in shelter. You're
Huge.
Dealing with the most basic needs. So
huge.
One of the things I love about you is that some stuff just never changes. Like, we met back in 2016 or 17 for the first time, and you were kind of saying the same things, like, yep. you know, about, you know, when you miss a listing, it helps you learn and, yep. and things like that. And I remember in the very first interview, or it might have been in the podcast last year, when you were trying to decide whether to go into your office or not, you said, when my back's up against the wall, that's when I'm at my best. Yeah. I fight, you know, and I move forward.
You said you were your best in that position too. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's probably why we get along. You know, so this year being such an interesting year, like, you have gone into business for yourself. What changes have happened in you? Because I know a lot of stuff stays the same, as we've just talked about, but what are the big things that have changed for you?
You got to keep the fiber and the principles consistent. That's why that aspect of it will never change. What's changed is I've seen the light in relation to how amazing building a great business can be. And I've always had my own little team within another business, but we know I pay attention to patterns, particularly when the outcome is positive. And the pattern I've seen evolved from owning my own business has been something that I'm super interested in, right? I'm really, really intrigued to create a bigger office or a bigger version of what I've got now, and identify that, you know, real estate is a team sport. And I really internally get a lot from that process, from recruiting people, from getting the best agents in the marketplace to come and work with me, from helping them build their business and watching them fly. Ollie Lavers is very, very close to exchanging and cracking the $1 million mark for financial year. You know, it's been his first year on his own. And I'm tracking this dude's numbers as hard as I'm tracking my own, because the feeling I get from him winning is just as good. And so it's been great to kind of discover different aspects that I get energy from and exploring that. So outside of that, and having a focus on other people and wanting to build other people up and build a team, that'd be probably the biggest change. Because, you know, having the support around me that I do, with Remy, with Shani, who runs operations, which is Jerome's old job, and now in particular my brother, who is really the captain of the ship, there's not much else I have to do. It's buyers, it's sellers and deals. And what's new to that is agents, recruitment and building them. And outside of that, that's my comfort zone. Outside of that, that's all I worry about, and the support takes care of the rest.
What's it like working with your brother?
That decision was the best decision I have ever made in business. He is just accuracy on another level. He has got a particular skill set and strengths that I don't. You know, it's almost like every single one of my weaknesses are his strengths. And we've got, you know, just an amazing understanding of flow and respect for each other. So far, so good.
Amazing. also because you've got a lot of followers out there on social media and people are very interested in what you're doing. Yeah. I put a question to some of our most avid readers on what they would ask you if they were given a chance to. So I've sort of got some rapid fire questions here. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready. Hit me.
Okay. Prospecting, always an age-old good one.
Yep.
Is SMS an effective way to replace letterbox drops?
SMS is extremely effective, but don't stop letterbox drops either. Do it all.
Yeah.
All of your resources available to you as a real estate agent, particularly now, you use. If you're not sending SMSs, send SMSs. But then while you're sending SMSs, drop letters. While you're dropping letters and sending SMSs, make phone calls. While you're making phone calls, you're dropping letters, sending SMSs, put out content. You know, while you're putting out content, while you're making phone calls, while you're dropping letters, while you're sending SMSs, make sure you're featured in the news. While you're featured, you know, do it all. I've always been passionate about doing it all. Big listings, big signboards, big sold signs, big newspaper mentions, big SMSs, big calls, big content. These are the resources that we have available to us as real estate practitioners. And if you want to be successful, do it all.
Interesting. Actually, just speaking about social media, we do have someone filming us today.
Tom from X Media.
Tom from X Media. Hello.
I had to barter harder than some multi-million dollar deals to get this guy to fly down. He's hard work.
So we've noticed you've been a little bit quieter on social media lately, but is that a reflection of not being able to sort of have so many people around?
It's a combination. So that's number one. Number two is I think you've got to be careful with the content you put out. So some of the previous content where there's an element of chest beating attached to it, talking about how many multi-millions of dollars in transactions we exchange in a month is not the angle I'm taking right now because
it's a bit tone deaf.
It's not the vibe. I'd rather talk about what is the adversity, how we are overcoming that, come from more of a motivational, inspirational position so that we can help, you know, others. And that's what we've been doing, right? Plus, I don't trust anyone else apart from these guys to film my stuff, and they've been caught in Brisbane. So they're opening up and they're coming down on a weekly basis. Got properties to shoot, yeah, so.
Tom, I told you you'd get a question. How have you been handling the 3D tours and that sort of stuff? Have you guys been doing a lot of virtual tours?
Yeah, lots of them, lots of virtual tours. But I think for Gav's content, like we have lots in the bank, but we aren't releasing it because like Gav said, you don't want to necessarily chest beat. Like we've got lots stored up. It's not the right time.
Yeah.
So until we could come back and film this set of filming, I think we just kept a little bit on the lowdown.
So. Yeah. Are you doing 3D walkthroughs? Are you still? Because
we do it, but they're old school, man. Like people thought because Corona, we got to try these, but I still think the social media 60-second videos, 90-second videos are a lot more engaging than your Matterport style ones. But people like to do them. So.
Yeah. Well, also people like you know Lisa Novak and stuff like that. They all say that you've got to do the short video so that people actually call you.
That's it. Yeah. It's always good to leave the line out. Yeah.
Leave a bit of curiosity. Definitely, out there.
Definitely.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so do you still have a morning routine and has that changed any since you became a leader of your own office?
No, it hasn't changed. Exactly the same. Up early, in the gym, work out. That's my preparation process. It's therapeutic to me to work out. And if I haven't worked out in the morning to deal with what I deal with, the emotional roller coaster that is real estate, the ups and the downs of it is just going to be very, very challenging.
I've been doing a lot of angry running lately.
I was even running for a bit because now I've actually gotten to a gym with my best friend. It's just him and myself in a private gym because his brother owns one. So we're lucky in that sense. But before I was running and I never used to run. I was trying for it not to be angry. I was trying for it to be pleasant. But, you know, you need a morning ritual. You got to prepare. You got to get ready.
Yeah, absolutely. If someone were to ask you what your key value proposition is, like, you know, what's your unique selling proposition or the one thing that sets you apart, why should I choose you? What's your answer?
Attention to detail.
Yeah, that hasn't changed either.
That's probably one of the most important aspects of a negotiation, if you think about it. Like if you really reverse engineer what is negotiation, detail is everything. It's just one of my big strengths, yeah.
Yeah, detail in knowing who you're dealing with, knowing how much money they've got, all of that sort of stuff.
Knowing what you say.
Yeah.
Knowing what they say. Identifying the body language. You know, being able to work out touch points at certain times. Are they at the right times? Knowing when to push, when to pull back. You know, this is a huge umbrella called detail and so much falls under that. And yeah, that would be my biggest. You know, product knowledge. It actually all, in one way or another, falls under detail. And it makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you sell mostly by auction.
Yep.
Have you dipped your toe into virtual auctions or online auctions or any of those sorts of things?
Definitely. So yep. whatever it takes to get the job done, we've done a few of them. They've been good. I've done expression of interest. I'm trying not to swim against the current too much when an owner has their own idea of how they want to approach the process. And I think anyone talking about selling right now is not a fool. They know what is going on and have done their research. So they'll have an idea of what process they're comfortable running. And, you know, I'm happy to do that so they're comfortable for a period of time. And if we haven't got to the outcome we want, then we shift and do it my way. I say to everyone, auction, for sale, virtual auction, whatever the process, I'm going to get it done. It's where you guys feel comfortable, so long as it won't jeopardize the outcome. And again, I help guide through that.
And that's detail, isn't it? Correct. Working out which outcome is going to be the best.
100%.
You mentioned off-market a little bit before. So how big a role do you think off-market will play in the next 6 months, in particularly in the market we're going into?
Huge. Enormous. Mm. Like in my marketplace particularly. And that's why we pivoted immediately. And buyer's agents are great. I'm a big advocate of buyer's agents. I love them. Very close relationships with all of the buyer's agents. And I think they add a lot of value to the buyer. But as a real estate agent, if you are not making a hot list of buyers yourself and working with these guys on a daily basis and wrapping them up in cotton wool and providing a service to them like you would a seller, there's no way you're going to be able to maintain and progress. Absolutely no way. A main question I always ask a buyer, which is key for me anyway, is if I find you the perfect property, are you in a position to sign a check for a deposit tomorrow? If they are, I want to work with them. Doesn't matter at what level, you know, because I'm servicing them not only on my own properties, on other agents' properties. I'm calling everybody who I've met in the last 10 plus years. It's a lot of people who own a lot of property. And I'm asking the question, look, I know you're not in a vibe or thought space of necessarily selling, but is it a short to medium term plan? Or if you were to be offered the right sort of price and I could save you inconvenience of a campaign and get you some attractive settlement terms, would it be something you would consider? And what that does is almost a linchpin to unearth if anything is going on below, which I may not know about, or which they may not want to tell me. And from there, we explore. Correct. So we've been doing a lot of work like that, multiple off-market transactions, April, again now, and it's helping.
No one wants to talk about the bad stuff that could possibly fall out from this pandemic. But, you know, like I'm guessing that a lot of people will need to sell in the coming months, but probably won't want to talk about it.
Prospecting is almost like going fishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so you never know what you're going to catch. And questions like that or offers like that can help create opportunities for you, right? It's work. It's all work.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to foreshadow anything, but if you were dealing with someone, you know, because we're probably going to be going back into that situation where we're having those price reduction kind of conversations, how do you handle that? Someone comes to you and they've got to sell your house.
Yep.
And I asked this question to someone else the other day.
Yeah.
Picture it's me. I'm crying.
Yeah.
I'm going, Gavin, I've got to sell.
Yeah.
I'm an ugly crier.
Yeah. So am I. I think everyone's an ugly cry.
Snot bubbles.
Is there such thing as a pretty cry?
Oh, yeah, there's a few people. I reckon Taylor Swift, people like that.
She's cute.
So how do you handle the emotional person coming to you to say, what am I going to do?
Empathy and having enough confidence to be that anchor and giving people the right information. I'm not afraid to push back at all. And because of that, I lose business, and that's fine. I live and die by the sword. I accept that. You know, I go to sleep every night knowing I did the absolute best I could in that day for the people that I represent. But it almost becomes a function of, I understand your expectations and I understand your position, but if we're going to approach this realistically, we need to consider facts and we need to consider evidence as the right information to be able to make informed decisions. We can't just have this expectation based on hope because it allows us to get to a certain stage based on what's going on in our life. We need to identify what are the comps, not in the last year, not in the last 12 months, not in the last year. What are the comps in the last 14 days? What is the dollar buying in terms of value, land size, house? What value does it represent? What does this offer? And where should we start it based on all of these factors? Ultimately, what they and what you are going to get from me is unconditional commitment, right? And a comprehensive understanding of the process that is absolutely second to none. And you work through it, right? You work through it.
So if I promise to stop crying, you're going to keep in touch with me like three times a day and guide me through the process.
Yeah. I mean, look, what everyone knows about me is I'm on all the time. So, I mean, Tom was in the car in the last, I mean, what was my phone doing? What were the conversations like?
Non-stop.
Yeah. I mean, I've spoken to one of my vendors 3 times this morning. I mean, it's just, I enjoy that aspect of it. I think you have to. And that's the sort of service and commitment you need to give to people. But again, look, I've always done that. So this is not a...
This is not a new thing.
No.
Yeah. There's a lot of agents wondering now what to say in a listing presentation at the moment because obviously people are nervous about letting people into their homes.
Yeah.
Have you actually changed the way that you allow people to come in open for inspections and how are you sort of explaining that to people?
Yeah, so sanitizer at the front and a lot more strategic around the approach of open homes. So at open homes, we're not putting flags in the board, sandwich boards out. We're not necessarily advertising all the open home times online. We're saying inspection by appointment. You know, if people are serious about wanting to see a home, they're going to ask, when is the open time? That'll create dialogue and it'll put us in a position to qualify. So a lot heavier qualification is happening on the buyer front and it is making a difference. I prefer it. One of the parts of this business that I really don't like is the part where the neighbors come through or the people who aren't even buying come through just because they've got nothing else to do. They walk through the property, talk the property down, very vocal about their opinion when they're not even a buyer and a real buyer hears it and it puts them off.
Mm.
You know, it's almost like me going into a cafe or a clothing store when I have no intention of buying anything and just screaming about, you know, how shit the clothes are. I just would never, ever take time out of my day to do something like that. So I think it's trimmed a lot of the fat. And I enjoy working with a group of qualified people more than a bigger group of non-qualified people. And that's been, to me, one of the biggest positives that's come out of COVID.
I heard someone say that exact same thing the other day, that dealing with more qualified buyers has actually sort of put a bit of like a profitability improvement in their business.
Huge.
Without sort of sounding like chest beating or anything like that. But, you know, it's enabled them to sort of save a whole lot of time.
It's enormous. And it also allows you to do your job better because before we'd have 30 groups coming through an open home, you're now one-on-one showing a prospective buyer through, which enables you to open up dialogue, to have more of a personal approach, to talk one-on-one, to get into their house, to then find your next. So there are many positive things that have come out of this pandemic, make no mistake.
Yeah, that's a day one thing again. You know, when you used to jump in someone's car and they'd drive you to a listing and you'd be able to develop a relationship with them, which kind of was out 6 months ago, but that can't be a good thing that it's back in.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And I'm experiencing it myself on the sales side. Like I was at a restaurant for the first time on Sunday evening. We were the only people in the restaurant. I loved it. It was almost like we owned the restaurant. I went to buy a pair of sneakers a couple of weeks ago, you know, from a high-end fashion boutique. And, you know, we had to book an appointment before arriving. And then when I got there, I had my temperature taken, hand sanitized, went upstairs and I had a private sales consultant. Like it was unbelievable. I actually preferred the process.
Yeah.
It's more personal. And so that's pretty similar to what's happening in our game.
Yeah. Well, my 18-year-old daughter, she works for Woolworths and she was, you know, the whole thing about them sanitizing your trolley on the way in. And she actually said to me, I hope it stays because what's bad about greeting your customers as they come in the door? We should have been doing this the whole time.
And being more clean, being more hygienic.
And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty insightful. Like,
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are some positives, make no mistake.
And yeah, as I said a couple of times, I don't miss the shopping trolley up the butt on the, you know, someone coming so close to me that, you know, like you want to turn around and go,
give me some space, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else to come out of this that you think's positive?
I think everything we highlighted then, you know, people being more aware, people being more hygienic, cleanliness, those aspects will come out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bit of old school service.
A lot of old school service, a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I've got to ask you this question because I ask it every time you and I get together.
What's next?
What's next?
I want to see this little baby of mine capitalize on its potential, and it has huge potential. You know, I've always said it, like I've got the framework for these guys to develop phenomenal businesses for themselves individually. I've got the formula. People can say what they want, but they're in my marketplace anyway, and that's all I can talk about. There was no one and there has been no one who wasn't a principal writing the numbers that I wrote, right? Didn't exist. So I have what principles you can follow. I have the framework for you and I can help you get your business to a high level. And as a result of you winning, I can also win if you're in my outfit. So it's having that mutual benefit from all partners involved, being a parent and identifying it and just continuing to watch, you know, Ray White TRG grow from strength to strength to strength to where I know it's going to go.
Yeah, well, that's it. Think times like this actually make us stronger, right?
100%.
Absolutely. So, Gavin, as always, it's amazing talking to you and amazing catching up with you and everything else. If there was one thing, one piece of advice that you'd like to leave everyone with, what would it be?
Never give up.
Yeah, I reckon. Actually, do you know what? Sorry, let's unpack that for a moment. I reckon people give up way too easily.
I remember growing up with this illustration on my fridge. It's from my father. And he was such a positive dude, right? And he is such a positive dude. And it was an illustration, which I could probably find for you and I'll send it to you, of it's a pelican, right? And there's a frog in the pelican's mouth, but the frog's arms are reaching out and grabbing the pelican's neck. And so you've obviously got the pelican trying to swallow the frog, but the frog's not letting the pelican swallow him.
Yep.
The frog's just trying to hold onto his neck and pull himself out. And then you have just in that one phrase, never give up. I mean, you can learn so much from that, right? So people are going to be challenged at the moment in whatever they do. Real estate as a profession is going to be challenged. You as an individual, you're going to be challenged. You're going to have days when you feel like there's just no point, or what is the point? And it's those days when you're closest to actually breaking the seal. So never do give up. And whatever you're focused on, do whatever it takes to get there.
Yeah, that's it. Because other people give up. And then with other people giving up, then if you don't give up, then there's no traffic on the extra mile.
You said it better than me.
Oh, no. No, no, I couldn't possibly have said that. All right, let's end on one more thing then. Clearly, I don't want you to go. All right, one more piece of advice.
Yes. Another piece of advice to people, I would say, always try to see the positive in the negative, because there is always one. Always. It doesn't matter how negative, it doesn't matter how bad, it doesn't matter. There is always a silver lining. There is always a positive. There is always a learning that you can take from a bad situation.
Well, it's like we're all writing a story right now, isn't it? Like 20 years from now, we'll all be saying,
what on earth was that?
What did you do during COVID-19?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Gavin Rubenstein, always
Sam,
a pleasure.
Always
Thank
a pleasure.
You so much.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.